Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, survivors, caregivers, and all of our followers that are tuning in, as always, to the TBI One Love podcast that is spreading our positive form of hope, inspiration, and education to those that have been touched by a brain injury, along with awareness and prevention. Well, I hope everyone has been enjoying the new year and especially is enjoying the month of January. Hard to believe that we're this far into 2023, but nonetheless, hope that everyone's been enjoying it. Well, to kick off our January series, since New Year's Day was a holiday, we are having special guest Sarah McGann calling in from DFW. For those of you that don't know, DFW stands for Dallas-Fort Worth. Sarah is a certified rehabilitation counselor, a licensed professional counselor, and a certified brain injury specialist. She has multiple years experiencing and assistance with traumatic brain injuries, TBI, acquired brain injuries, ABI, and also spinal cord injuries. So I hope that everyone is really tuning in and comfortable because this is going to be a great show, not only, of course, getting, as always, coaching from an individual that is a brain injury specialist, but with her experience as a counselor, that's also going to help not only us survivors, but also caregivers with understanding more and having some weight taken off their shoulders. So without further ado, let's get the show started. Sarah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I really appreciate the opportunity to connect more with you and also share some of your insight with our viewers.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you heard me give a brief description about yourself and your passion. Would you mind, before we get going, to tell us a little bit more about yourself and your history?
Absolutely. So I got into this field because I have a really personal history with traumatic brain injury. When I was about 9 years old, my dad was in a head-on car collision with a drunk driver, and my family worked to rehabilitate him. And I really saw how that had impacted my mother and me as a young child. And after him recovering, he ended up getting back to cycling. He was a big cyclist and ended up hit by a car and left on the side of the road. He was in a coma and was found in a GCS3 coma by actually a nurse. And that kind of changed my life all over again. And again, in 2016, my mother and sister were driving to soccer practice, and a teenager that was texting and driving head-on collided with them, and my mom suffered a TBI, and so did my little sister as well. So, yes, I have experienced this for well over 20 years personally, and that is what has kind of driven me to get into this field to help others get through it.
Wow. That's not only what I was going to first ask was what really got you into this field, but what a story about not only, of course, your father, but again, then having to go through it, not only the brain injury journey, but obviously a different journey of pathway with your mother. Wow.
It's been quite the road.
I'm sure, but it's amazing how, again, not only what brought you to where you are today, but also the ability that you have with a personal connection with the individuals that you help with, of course, not only brain injury or spine injury or any disability, but also with your counseling, because you also have something to share, not that you are licensed and have the ability to help others, but that you have a reason why you did it, and a very powerful reason why.
It's one of the most powerful ones.
Wow, I agree more. So speaking of with your licenses, what exactly is your licensing?
So that's a really great question because I've got a few. I went to UT Southwestern Medical Center, their School of Health Professions, and they had a clinical rehabilitation counseling program. And that is a program that is geared towards specifically persons with disabilities or health difficulties. So that is where that CRC comes from, that certified rehabilitation counselor, specifically trained in the adjustment to disability process, navigating life after disability, return to work. That CRC allows me to do vocational counseling and mm-hmm. assist people in the return to work process. And I've seen people from the start of the recovery to walking right back into their jobs. Then wow. I have the LPC or the licensed professional counselor, and that allows me to assist those who have difficulties with mood disorders, any mental health difficulties, really. And I see what a wide range of people with that license there that allows me to work with typically younger children is what I see in my private practice, and as well as adults with mental health.
Wow. And that's one question I was just about to ask you before you stated that. Seeing if you help only a certain age bracket or if it's widespread, and with you saying that helping both children and adults, that's very helpful, not only of course to them and their families, but also your experience levels.
Absolutely.
You know, and speaking of levels, I wanted to ask, what levels of care do you work in? And after you describe those different levels, I would like to know, what do they look like?
That's a great question. So I work in several levels of care. I worked at Baylor Scott & White's Neurotransitional Center, and that was the unit that was between the hospital and going home. And the way that looked was we had 9 suites. Each person had their individual suite with a queen bed and their own desk, their own bathroom. That facility had a kitchen that had 3 kitchens in it. And that allowed me to help people with getting back to those normal skills, right? Me as the counselor there obviously helped with the adjustment side of things, but I also helped with more of those functional skills that would include the steps to either cooking, right? I did a cooking group once a week, or we would do a meditation group or yoga, dressing, whatever it was that patient needed, we really tailored it to their needs. And we saw very low-level patients there to very high-functioning patients. It was a widespread that we had there and helped them recover, because a lot of times access to care out in the middle of, we're in Texas, right? There's a lot of areas that are kind of in the middle of nowhere, right?
very true.
So this allowed them to get all of that care in one place and stay there and sleep there for several months. And that's, we kind of had some acute patients there, and then had some higher levels. So that is really fun. I love going back there and doing that because it's so immersive. Then I also do home health. That level of care is the one after that unit that I worked in, or after the hospital, or even someone that maybe had a difficulty with change in status long after being discharged from the hospital. That is really fun to do, that level of care. We get to go out into the community and take people grocery shopping and to baseball games and just get them back to life, right?
Right.
Again, doing those activities of daily living and that adjustment to disability and home health, I really target caregiver assistance and help them get connected with resources in the community and help the caregivers process through this adjustment and figure out what is that structure of the home now and how are we going to navigate the change in roles and process through that. I didn't even realize that had existed. I had heard about it. And when I stepped into this, I was like, wow, this is really fun. I enjoy that. And then I do private practice. And that is also one of my passions, because that is a lot of times people have finished with the level of care that insurance will pay for. And sometimes they still need to spiff things up. It's kind of a version of outpatient therapy. But even beyond outpatient therapy, I've had people come back to me there that have had brain injuries for years and are suddenly having difficulty again, where the caregivers are just burnt out, right? So let's figure out how to take care of yourself and us process through those. And that is different kind of therapy. I get to do cognitive therapy. I'm a trained cognitive therapist. And I get to do that cognitive therapy and help people set up their lives kind of there to also help with return to work. But that's interesting to see that level of care from versus being at the acute level to the home level to here. I get to do all the stages and it's really cool.
That is very cool, especially how there's not only everyone's different, but so are the stages. They're all different levels and, different patients and so forth. And when you kept mentioning help individuals get back to work a few times, I wanted to ask, do you help, I know you do different age brackets, but do you help, like, let's say, for example, anyone that's either in middle school or high school, helping them be able to get back to school? Or when you sit at home, are you helping them with any, in a form of, let's say, educational guidance to an extent, but how they can get to where they need to be to relearn or be able to return to the educational pathway to help them get to where they need to in life? I know you're saying, like I mentioned, a lot of helping individuals get back to work, but I think it'd be good for our listeners to understand that, of course, there is some abilities to help kids that do have, unfortunately, brain injuries, which are more common than not having them, but knowing that there is a resource out there that can help them with education or counseling that can also make their education pathway easier.
Yes, I do. I do help with the return to school process as well. And it's very similar to the return to work process, right?
Oh, okay.
Kids are in school for a certain amount of hours each day. And that's where I kind of get to make the recommendations and work with the school to figure out what are those recommendations? Do we need to do modified schedule? Of course, there's counselors that help with that at the school. But on my end of things, it's really helping counselors and teachers, even classmates, understand in depth what are these deficits that are occurring and how do we make sure that we can use those strengths to lift up those weaknesses for the children.
That's very, very powerful. Wow.
It is. And I get to help them set up their schedules, right? And their homework schedules and with the strategies that we need for learning, right? Does that mean that we're using a planner or we're taking different types of notes in school? What is our studying going to look like? Helping through, going through steps. It's interesting to work with the kids in the school level because there are so many moving parts. In those situations, right? There's a lot of extra players can provide a lot more support than I think a lot of people can recognize. And I think the important thing is, you're right, with children, TBIs are much more prevalent than we recognize. Concussions, as we know, MTBI or mild TBI is a concussion, and those happen in sports all the time. And I sometimes will have parents that reach out to me and, hey, my kid is having some difficulties with emotional functioning after they've had a concussion, or they don't have the motivation to do school anymore. And that's where I really get to help them rehab in that way, because MTBIs are not necessarily severe enough for inpatient treatment, right? Always outpatient treatment. They go unrecognized. So I get to help those with the people that do recognize those.
Wow. And that's very helpful. Of course, not only everyone needs assistance naturally, but also when you have the ability to, again, like you had mentioned, there are counselors in the school base. We all know that, but there's a different level of, you could say, understanding or acceptance for the individual, the student. Let's say if it's middle school through high school, 6th through 12th grade, where they're feeling different, or they notice that they're having emotional differences. They have trouble understanding certain words or understanding what the classmate is trying to present or what the lesson is, et cetera. But when they have individuals like you that not only understands brain injuries itself, but also has the ability to help them outside of school, do better in school, and also do better in themselves. That is a double plus for them and, of course, their family.
It is. It's really fun. I get to watch a lot of different moving parts and a lot of changes that are, you see the changes happen, especially with the kids. It's really fun to watch how those changes happen and know that you're setting them up for success for longevity, right?
That's perfect. And, you know, I'm sure that same setting them up for success is not only for the kids. I was just curious about that to see when you had mentioned kids, but it also goes for the adults. You know, like you had said, helping them get back to work is very similar to the steps of helping them get back to school. Obviously, every survivor is different and every staircase they need to perform on is different. But with your understanding and your specialization, you're really helping them all recover. So what would you say exactly, besides coaching, counseling, guidance, success, strategizing, et cetera, what would you say is your exact role with brain injury recovery?
I would like to say that I'm the do-it-all, right?
That's what it sounds like. That fits you well.
My role is just to facilitate as much healing as possible in whatever way that is. Some people feel that they don't need me, and that's very common with brain injury, right? That lack of insight. And I'd like to let everyone know, like, I'm here to be a human with you first and help you learn the skills that are going to help you be successful and let you really experience what you've experienced, right? Not life keeps going on, and sometimes we just don't get to process through what's happened because life continues. And I want to make sure that everyone makes sure that they're heard and they feel heard, because there's so many people in rehab that feel like everyone's just telling them what to do and they're not in control of their life anymore. And they've lost that control, and I want to help them find that control and take back control and feel like they're in the driver's seat instead of a passenger on their life. That's not a place to be, to feel like you're a passenger along on this ride, especially if you were the driver beforehand, right? So my role is just to facilitate as much healing as possible in whatever capacity that person needs me. If it means that we sit in silence with each other for 45 minutes, then let me do it, right? I will sit in silence with you. If you need to cry, I will sit there and let you cry and know that your pain is heard. And if you need me to go and have some fun with you, I'll do that as well, right? It's whatever is needed.
Wow. And that is basically like you titled it, the do it all. But again, like we discussed at the beginning, you understand it on a personal level to an extent. Obviously you're not in their shoes, but you understand the journeys that, you know, disabilities, but also hidden disabilities, AKA brain injuries, go through. So it's really proper guidance, not only of course to the individual, you know, going back to work, trying to get their life back together, but also it's a huge assistance tool also for the youth, because we all know and have experienced, not with the brain injury aspect, but when we go through certain changes at a younger age, we don't really understand the why. We're kind of like, oh, it is what it is, or going through. We don't understand that there's actually certain steps that can help you properly succeed. And that's, again, with bringing you to the table, you're helping all areas of life be addressed properly. But like you had mentioned earlier, and I'm sure you also do this with helping the individuals get back to work, you mentioned with the kids that you go and, you know, communicate with their schools or their teachers to not, you know, address what this individual, how, you know, in a bad terminology, what he needs, et cetera, but it's also, it's a win-win. You're bringing to the table what he's going through neurologically, what he needs to be able to understand and be successful in the class or in the schooling system. And it's also helping them understand, okay, I was unaware, because based on the outside look, it doesn't seem that that's an issue, but on the inside, it's a completely different ball game, if that's understandable.
It is. And it's, I really like those cases, because in those cases, I do brain injury guides. Mm-hmm. Because after an injury, you don't have a guide, right? We don't know what's going on with ourselves. And I'll do a brain injury guide that, you know, the front page of it really gives in depth what has occurred specifically for mm-hmm. the person. What are their deficits? What are the things that they're struggling with? Mm-hmm. And why, right? What is at play? What is the reason neurologically that that is occurring? I'm giving those definitions. And then the subsequent pages, it'll say the thing that they're having a difficulty with. What are the signs that they have difficulty with that? And what are the strategies that you use to help them be successful when you're recognizing that that happens? So I do those for families as well. That's why I love working in home health with Collage Rehab, because with Collage, I'm with the families, right? There's no way I'm not. And you're with them all the time. So getting to make those brain injury guides specifically for the children, if they've had a parent that's had a disability, putting that into words that a child can understand, right? This is why mommy has to nap all the time, right? Or this is why mommy can't go do this with me, or this is why dad can't go play baseball with me, whatever that might be. My sister-in-law is a child life specialist, and she helps me kind of verbalize those things and put it into words that children will understand. And I get to do that moving part in the home with them and with the schools. Do those for teachers with return to work. Do those for bosses as well. A lot of bosses are really supportive. That way everyone really gets the whole picture and understand, okay, this is what aphasia is. And this aphasia does not affect intelligence, right? And this is how you can tell that they're having difficulty with that. And this is what you can do to help. That is, I think, the coolest thing.
I agree.
On that level.
Wow. You know, and speaking of getting help, not only, again, thank you for all the help you do for all ages, but especially like we were just discussing, helping the families and helping the children's school understand, or not only understand about brain injury awareness, but how this certain individual in a different grade level, a different classroom setting, et cetera, will need assistance with X, Y, and Z, and they're all different. So that's really helping them, the school, the family, and also their community understand more about, of course, once again, awareness, but also how this is what an individual goes through. On the outside is one thing, but on the inside, neurologically, it's a completely different ballpark.
Absolutely.
And, you know, with help, I wanted to ask you, what are some recommendations that you have for survivors and or caregivers?
Ooh, I have a lot of them.
That's good. That's a never-ending subject.
Honestly, the biggest recommendation I can give is grace. Give yourself Amen. Grace. Give the people around you grace. And give yourself that time, right? In a strange way, after you've had this traumatic experience occur, whether it's a stroke or a TBI, or even a spinal cord injury, right? You've been given the gift of time, right? There's never been a time in your life where you kind of get to stop and focus on yourself. And it's not the way that we want to focus on ourselves, right? But it gives you that gift to be able to do that and reassess and know that you're going to have really hard days and you're going to have good days. And as long as you're giving yourself grace through all of those, you're going to get through this, right?
Exactly.
That's really taking the time now to focus on that recovery is going to also benefit you later, right? I have a lot of people that will say to me that they don't want to be doing this right now, right? I don't need this. It's not that bad. I'll be able to deal with it. I'm like, well, if we don't figure out how to take care of it now, it's going to become your life later, and it's going to control your life even more so later. Because this is the prime time for recovery, right? Those
exactly.
first 3 to 6 months are really important for recovery. That first year to 18 months are also really important, and you can continue recovering even long after that, as long as
exactly
you're taking care of yourself, right? You're honest with mm-hmm. yourself, and you're giving yourself that grace. It really can make a huge impact. Also, make sure that you're getting a good diet, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times after TBI, we either forget that we need to eat, or we just want to eat because we're kind of depressed, right? Appetite changes. So making sure that you're getting healthy fruits and vegetables and grains and everything that's going to be good for your mind, and getting rest, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make sure that you get a good sleep structure is so important. And structure is awesome. I know that a lot of times after brain injuries, people are stuck inside the home for a really long time, and because they can't drive typically, right? And we just want to lay around and rest and do these things, but those are not the things that are going to help you get better. Making sure that you've got some type of structure, even if it's just getting out of bed that day and washing your face, making sure that you're up, and that's the biggest step, right? And finding things to that are meaningful for you to structure in throughout your day are going to help you recover in ways that you don't recognize. You don't necessarily have to be doing exercises to be recovering. Everything can be therapeutic as long as you're using mm-hmm. strategies that are going to help you, and you're taking the time to do it, not rushing through it, right? Getting dressed in the morning, that is therapy. Take your time to do that the way that your OTs have shown you. Speech therapy, right? If you're having a conversation with someone, make sure you're using those strategies and speaking slowly in the way that you need to, right? And for PT too, walking, right? A lot of people are like, I just want to get up and walk and I want to run.
Right.
And focus on how quickly they're doing it instead of focusing on the mechanics of it and making sure that their brain is being retrained in the way that's not going to cause breakdown for their body later, right? And then most importantly, please be honest with yourself about where you are at on a mental health standpoint, right? Emotionally, if you're not there emotionally, you're not going to be able to do all the other things that matter to you. So reach out, ask for help if it's needed, and be honest with yourself about where you're at. If you're fatigued that day and you just can't do more, tell everyone that you just can't do more, right? Because that, if we're doing too much, that's going to cause stress on ourselves. And that goes back to that grace, right? If you just can't do it, that's okay. Give yourself that grace and find a way that you can. I know I told you I had this is a long-winded answer, James.
I know, but that's good. There's always so many different recommendations that are always needed, and it affects both. And what I mean by both is not only the survivor, but also their circle, their family. A lot of individuals do not understand that because they don't have to deal with a survivor or learn about a brain injury the hard way. A brain injury affects everyone that the survivor communicates with, but once again, most importantly, their family. And they have to try to change their life to give the proper care. So either they will do the best they can and be able to, or if they're not able to, have to hire a nurse or assistant, stuff like that. So it's very good, the recommendations of support, and especially how they're never ending, because a brain injury is a never ending road. Of course, you're going to have guidance, okay, within the first, from when it's sustained, to a 2-year mark, a lot of guidance will say that is the key element, which it is. But a lot think that, okay, where I'm at 2 years after, or maybe if not, even not even seeing that much of a change prior to 2 years, they think that, okay, this is probably the best they're going to get. To an extent, that is. But recovery is a lifelong journey. Our brain is fully developing, rewiring, and making sure that new steps can either be addressed or old steps can be slightly changed so they're able to do, but not to the full extent before. So what's very good is, again, it's not only keeping up to speed and creating your own blueprint of the survivor to make sure that they are doing the best they can by them and their community with support, proper steps, care, etc., But I know personally from my own experience with the brain injury and a lot of survivors I have met that after the 2-year mark, that's just when it really changed in a, not a negative aspect at all, a very positive aspect where it could be 3, 5, 10, X amount of years after where they started to see even more unfold. But like you had mentioned, those are the prime times of rewiring and giving your brain the proper care. Not only you need to care for it always, but during your recovery method for any survivor, the first 2 years are where it's really going to help create that staircase or stairway to where you're going to be able to soar continuously.
Absolutely. The progress never stops. It's been 20 years since my dad's brain injury, and he's just now getting a sleep schedule. So
yeah,
that
it's
is
never ending.
Seeing that it's never ending, right? He's finally punctual. He can pay attention to time. But before, forget it. I used to tell him, hey, we need to leave 3 hours before the actual time that we needed to leave. So
there you go. Oh yeah.
And now he's a changed man. He shows up on time and I'm like, what is happening?
There you go. That's motivation. And I know so many of our listeners can relate either to that same situation where, but obviously not to an extent because all survivors are different, whether it's with, they can relate to a time with simple steps, eating, sleep, nonetheless, but it's helping all of our listeners understand that whatever journey they're going through after the recovery, that they are not the only one that ever has to do that, or ever for caregivers or for survivors, that they're not the only one that is ever going through this. So it's amazing with your, not only your recommendations, but also your why you do this, the ability you understand on a daily basis, helping survivors of all ages, but also how you understand this personally with living it as a caregiver with your father and also your mom. You know, with your work and also being located here as well in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, for our listeners, but also for DFW, either schools, other parents, workers, et cetera, how would they be able to either reach out to you or kind of be able to, if possible, schedule a meeting with you?
They can always reach out to me on my LinkedIn.
Okay.
Sarah McGann. You can also Google me for brain injury counselors in DFW, and I pop up on Psychology Today, and that link will take you to my private practice of Positive Outlook Counseling. And you can always reach out to me via email. I am pretty responsive for that. My email is my last name, first name at gmail.com. So pretty simple. But those are the ways that they can reach out to me.
Perfect. Well, what we'll do also, when we not only will refer you to some individuals, of course, not only locally, nationally, and et cetera, so they can get some of your guidance or do some teamwork-based approach with you. But I really want to thank you for your time and sharing, again, not only your why, everyone has a why or multiple whys, but also the proper guidance to help our listeners understand that there is a set amount of tools that they can get just by communicating with you that will help them and the survivor at different levels of success. If they have any questions, of course, I'll refer your email and or your LinkedIn to them and we'll go from there.
Perfect. I'm always here to help people find resources and any support that they need. So thank
That's
you
awesome,
so much,
Sarah.
James.
No problem. Thank you for all you do are and the lives you change. I know I've been asking you a serious amount of questions because I've been just so inspired and amazed by what you do and giving the opportunity for our listeners to gain more of your light. Do you have any questions for me before I wrap this up?
I do.
Okay, great.
How have you gotten to the point that you are now, right? And what I mean by that is, where did you find that motivation? What sparked that inspiration for you to help survivors the way that you did?
You know, that's a good question. There's multiple reasons, but I think one of the aspects is I would say first off would be my circle, my community. Not only when growing up way before my brain injury, we had a great support group, great amount of friends. I grew up with my neighbors actually being disabled. So growing up with them and their siblings that were in my grade was really around them all the time, hanging out, including them. So to an extent, I understood the lifestyle or the community of disability. And then I learned the hard way when I sustained my brain injury. But continuing to do that, understanding how that was prior, but also with the continuing support of my family and friends and our community, that really motivated me to help change their perspective on not only brain injuries, because a lot still don't know or didn't know an extent back then, and still, I mean, brain injuries are really not fully known yet, but that's changing briefly. But that has really helped me and motivated me not only to continue to reach out and make connections with other medical specialists, professionals, hospitals, but most importantly, other survivors and their caregivers, if they have caregivers, to help guide them with the proper care, give them some hope, give them, you know, some other feedback, but most importantly, allow me to be inspired by them. Because once again, like I mentioned with you, everyone has a why, and that's what makes everyone different. If they all were the same, it would be, to an extent, I could see it being good because everyone understands we can work more together. But the reason they're different is even more better, because there is no copying, especially with a brain injury. The only similarity is that we can connect because we have a brain injury. And so we feel more at home when we're talking to an individual that gets us, just like you and your story and your whys. So when you talk to your patients and do counseling, they understand you, they feel comfortable. More comfortable with you because you're not only doing your expertise, but you understand on a personal level what it is that they're going through and how to help them.
It's, I love hearing that from you. You are such an inspiration. It's been an honor to get to know you and be on this podcast with you. And you're right. Every brain injury is different, right? If you've seen one, you've seen one, but we can
exactly.
All bond over the fact that you have one and someone understands what you're going through.
And that's what the most important thing is. I mean, there's a big difference between getting it or understanding to an extent, but when you're living it, energy is everything. So when you're, it's kind of to the aspect of when you're talking to someone, you have to kind of explain, this is from the survivor perspective, which we always have to do naturally. We have to explain what a brain injury is, how we got ours, what we have to deal with, how we have to function, what we need, pros and cons, et cetera, because it is an invisible disability and not that many people know about it. When I say not that many, it's about 85-90%, unless they know someone that's gone through it or someone in their family is a survivor, et cetera. But when you have the availability to communicate with someone or multiple amount of people, aka community, that understands it and or is an actual caregiver, survivor, you don't have to explain anything. Thus, when you start the conversation, just like our conversation has been going tonight, is this natural, it's unfolding because we are on the same level. We connect. It's a natural connection. And I know our brains are inside just happy and clapping because, okay, I get you and you get me.
Absolutely. It's a different type of camaraderie. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. And teamwork helps make dreams work. So I want to thank you once again for all you do, Sarah, not only for survivors and caregivers, but also especially the inspirational guidance you do in the DFW Metroplex.
Thank you so much. It's been such an honor.
Hey, we'll keep in touch. We'll get together and I'm going to refer a lot of families, individuals, and also some schools for you to communicate with. And hopefully there can be some teamwork and also get some more people underneath your wing to help them understand their why.
Perfect. I can't wait.
All right. Well, have a great night. Thanks again for all you do are and the lives you take, lives you change. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Wow, everyone. What a great series we had tonight. As you heard from Sarah, she is an expertise, aka do-it-all, and there's different ways that you can gain her guidance, not only, of course, here in the DFW Metroplex, but in the state of Texas and also nationally or internationally. If you would like to learn more of her work, her guidance, and or like we discussed earlier, get in touch with her, we would be honored to connect with you. Just either contact us or message us, and we will do all we can to help open up that pathway for you. We hope everyone is enjoying the new year, enjoying January, like we said at the beginning of our series tonight. But most importantly, thank you for following TBI One Love and helping us paint the world green with our positive form of hope, inspiration, and education, as well as awareness and prevention. Stay tuned. We've got some more exciting news coming up this month and for the month of February. One love.